Hey, it's Vladimira.
And I'm Nectarius.
And this is Naked by the Future Farm.
Join us as we strip entrepreneurship to its vulnerable core.
Hello, my naked friend, Nectarius.
I'm fully dressed. Hi, Vladdy. How are you?
You are. And you have this radiating color on you.
Yes, I thought for today, this being our first episode after a long break, I make an effort with my colors.
And you also don't have your hat, which you always, most of the time you come with a hat and big headphones. You see, I'm observant. A lot of changes for this new series. Well done.
No, I've changed the big headphones. That's true. I don't need the big headphones anymore because I use them to drown out the noise outside, but there is no longer noise outside.
Mm. So we are the new, but the old. And yes. Yeah.
Been a while, huh?
Well, yeah, it's been a while. And welcome everyone back to Naked. It's really lovely to reconnect with everyone. We missed you big time.
So we took a bit of a break. The world has changed a bit. We have a new team. We wanted to say hi to the old team. We also want to take a moment to explicitly give a big shout out to Catherine, who was with us from the beginning for 3 years, going through the ups and downs of the journey of the Future Farm, being our editor and our content guide. Catherine has left the Future Farm. She started a family. She had a baby. Lots of things happening in her life. And we're super grateful for the time we had with Catherine.
Oh, big time, big time. I can't even remember the very first days. It seems like ages ago. But it's wonderful when you have those people who stay with you for the whole journey and they sort of become part of the family. And so wishing all the best and big thank you.
It's been 4 years since you and I had the first. You remember when I flew to Prague to spend the day with you?
Yes, I remember that.
And you were completely terrified because I didn't want to have an agenda and you needed an agenda and I didn't know it at the time. So that was mid-August 2019.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's crazy, huh?
Wow. Yeah, but it does feel longer to me. But so just to tell you everyone what is happening right now, why are we talking, why we haven't been talking for ages. So we decided, and we'll go deeply into this, but this episode is quite special. So it's sort of our coming back to you, to reconnecting, and also is to say that we are still naked, raw, and we still love talk to you and about the mental health of entrepreneurs. Nothing has changed. I feel actually that the last 6 months, which we're gonna tell you more about, made me even more feel like this is such a important part of our lives, an important topic that still needs a lot of attention. Is that the same for you, Nectarius?
Oh, absolutely. There's multiple things. I've been dragged into a lot more conversations on the subject. So more people want to talk about it. There's also a lot of people who talk about it without really knowing what they're talking about, which is also interesting. Let's get into it. I mean, ultimately, there's been some very turbulent 6 months for us individually. But if you look around at the entrepreneurial landscape and the investment landscape, when you talk to people on the ground, there's stuff we need to talk about. And for me personally, it's also an element of, it feels like the last 4 years didn't happen. Like events are happening again. People are again being very, very busy, sometimes for the sake of being busy. So yeah, curious to see where you're at with this.
Okay, so let's go in there, right? I mean, so we took this, you told me today that it's about 6 months, right?
Since the last episode we dropped was February this year.
Yeah. I remember the moment when we decided to actually take the pause on sort of recording and releasing and talking to you guys. And it was a tough moment because I think there was a little bit of that feeling of fear of disconnecting from you and from the subject. And I think part of me really wanted to stay in it because it became such a embedded element of my being. At the same time, I am so grateful. Like, today I'm reflecting on it, that it was really essential, and nearly it feels like walking the talk of what we are trying to do here with Naked and the Future Farm, which is really about put your needs sort of at the first place and be aware of what's happening for you. And I remember that at that time we were going through a rough time with Neem, basically. So that's that. The last 6 months, if in a nutshell, for me, were a lot about being there for the business that we are building with my two other co-founders. It was a new experience. Because I never really was in such, I guess, roller coaster or intense period, or generally it was the first time building a business, which is still depending on the investors' funding. And there was also this new element of the macro climate, which I think most of us sort of went through and suffered from. And so all of that was in some way new. There were many highlights that I can sort of touch base on, but I think my first reflection is just on the fact that it was not easy to say, let's pause Naked and let me fully focus on what I need to take care of right now and prioritize it whilst also prioritizing myself. And I'm grateful that we've been able to do that. So yeah, that was a big one for me.
I relate to that. I actually felt a sense of relief. Mm-hmm. When we decided to take a break, partly because Radish, my fintech startup, is going also through some turbulent times, and having permission just to go and say, look, in the multiple things we're juggling, having one where you just don't have to worry about for a moment was quite important. I think at the beginning of February was also the time we've just come out of a very painful separation from a co-founder. So for me, it was all this one bucket of breathe. And it's not that we stopped talking about mental health. It's been a few events with people that invited us to come and speak at, and we still engage with the subject, but having that constant reminder of having to create content and deal with it. And it was in the calendar. It was something that was going on, but the pause was just healthy. It felt just very healthy.
Yeah. I shared that sentiment with you. And I love that you said that there was this element of permission as well. And I remember when it was like we allowed to each other, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of trust in there, and it was like a embrace. That was wonderful. I wonder whether for people who are listening, this can also resonate, right? Because often we feel like it's, I have to show up. I have to show up on all of it, whether that means showing up to the events. I just talked actually to a common friend of ours, and just to your point of world coming back, and especially in the Western world, it seems like people are really keen and hungry for the personal connection. So she was telling me that she's fundraising, and it's very intense for her because she has to show up in person, which is very different, by the way, from my experience in Pakistan, because we do a lot of that still virtually. So I literally felt that heaviness when she was telling me that now she's in that FOMO of like, I have to show up everywhere. And so I think that permission to sometimes, when needed, when you see that it's the point to pause and just to say, okay, can I recalibrate something in here? Yeah, I feel the relief even now.
There's another element to this, which is ultimately we also changed the people we work with. And part of what happened was, after the break, starting conversations with people with a different set of experiences and just a different way of thinking, looking at this dispassionately, also gave us some new ideas. We look a little bit different now. We have the music's been updated a bit. So all these things matter, because sometimes it's also good to get this new kind of inputs that make you think about things differently. I kind of love the fact that when we started the Future Farm, none of us knew how to produce any of this, and look at where we got us. And so we now talk about some of the things confidently, but there's still so much we don't know. And we have a bigger focus on video, which also means that we need to kind of look better. We need to make sure that we've got the right background.
It's solid.
But yeah, also dealing with different creatives, it's just a new experience. So, but to your point about giving yourself permission to have a break also means that you can go back to this, look at it with slightly different eyes and see things that didn't work, see things that worked. So there's a lot of new energy coming into a new phase. Let's call it that.
Yeah, no, agree. And we'll get there, right? We have this whole sort of teaser for you guys. Like, there's some really cool stuff coming in your way. But let's go back. So let's give some meat, because I know, so just for everyone to know, so Nectaris and I, we've been continuously talking throughout the 6 months, and we've had those, I would really call them like soulmate therapy conversations. I think it was, I certainly look at them that way, because I was in a tough moment and you've been with me by my sort of side on that journey. And I'm certainly very grateful for that. So let's highlight some, I guess maybe the tough moments that happened for us and some reflections, learnings. Are you ready to start? You want to give me the ball? Okay, I even made a list here because I really wanted to be prepared for you guys today, because it's been a lot. My first sort of thought was like, wow, what even happened? Sometimes you have even this ability, I think, our sort of mind that puts it in some sort of a bucket. So if I deconstruct the bucket in some big pieces, I think it was just generally, so one was the new. So new experience, which was looking at it from the positive, from the learnings. But I think it was equally rough. I think that's the word I wrote here. It was a rough time. Just to give you a little bit of, I guess, color. So we are very committed to this strong purpose-driven business in the context of a country like Pakistan, no doubt about it. So you're coming every day to work, daily you are showing up, your team is highly motivated. Then comes the uncontrolled factor of the macroeconomics, country like Pakistan or markets, they suffer. And then comes the element of your investors, because you are still dependent on the third party trust, and they also freak out. So suddenly you are in a situation where you are still in the train of like driving. You are very clear. You have no doubt about whether what you are doing and why you are doing it is right, because you know you have the strong conviction that it is. However, the world around you is starting to sort of put the barriers for way forward. Interesting moment, because it brought us nearly to the point of considering variety of ways forward. And the spectrum was so wide, just to give you a taste, from how are we going to deal with the sort of, I wouldn't call it bankruptcy, because in our case it's not a bankruptcy, but we are going to dissolve the business, to the level of everything is great. We fundraise and we go way forward, nothing, you just brush it off, you keep going. And in the middle, there is like a few other shades, right? So I think the hard part for me, which was again new, was actually the dissonance of showing up every day with this high energy to motivate the team, to be focused and convinced on what you are building and for whom you are building, the problem you're solving, whilst also being able to operationally solve for the scenario of the crisis. And if you can, I felt like you can live in that energy for a while, but if it sort of turns into a few months, it's tough. So that was certainly like this dilemma of energies, right? Of showing up in that double sort of spectrum of self identity was hard. The other part, I think, that was new for me and tough was to actually figure out how do you bring your team on board, because one thing we really deeply care about is the team, and I was very conscious of being transparent for us as founders to the team what's happening, but at the same time you want to have them showing up, right? And not everyone is able also to take the full depth and breadth and heaviness of the situation. So I actually remember reaching out to Lisa from Flourish Ventures. She's an investor and head of people there, and she was on the podcast here. So if you guys haven't heard, it was a brilliant episode, and she helped me a lot. She actually gave me a framework and structure, which I like. So it was really wonderful to know that there is a toolkit of how you can approach that situation, of just understanding what are sort of the layers of intimacy and transparency with the team. So things like bring in the core team and be transparent because you want to have them as your thinking partners and for them to feel the ownership versus the other layers and stuff. So I think before I'll pause, the hard part was certainly the different energies that you have to keep within yourself, the different faces you had to show. That I don't even know where to start with the face towards investors, right? We were lucky enough to meet some amazing people who were ready for the true story. What's really happening for you? You know, that question. But we met a lot of people where I couldn't even, you know, like brush it, like touch the reality. It's like you just cannot. I mean, they're unable to comprehend. So yeah, it's been a lot of new things and a lot of new learnings there.
I have a feeling this should have been just an episode about you.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I'm saying this in a way.
Yeah, there's a lot in there.
Mm. There's a lot, and it's not the full list, right?
Yeah.
It's so when you were talking about the options, I kind of, well, when you describe the spectrum, so we're going through this right now. So we have with Radish, we had to do a reset because a bunch of things had happened, and we came out with three options. And I was relaying these options to one of our investors, because since the last episode, we actually managed to put a little bit of money in the bank, so we have investors. So I described the three options. And they said, what about option four? And I was like, what's option mm-hmm. four? And the answer was just pack it in and say goodbye. And I was like, oh, damn. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all knew that there's this option, but we just don't want to go there just yet.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, mm-hmm. if you explore the other three, you need to have the fourth one on the table, because that's the true picture. Is there's always the option to say, you know what, we've worked on this now for 2 years. By Christmas, and maybe this is the time to say we're not turning this around. And in our case, a lot of it is around macroeconomics. So it's been a tough pill to swallow. So I cannot imagine how it must feel to actually have raised money, to be in business, to have a big team, and then have to seriously also consider that. Because for us, it means personally, what does this mean? And give the money back to the investors rather than saying, hey, we need to let people go and we need to make sure that they're okay and all that, right? So sounds like a tough.
Yeah, it certainly was. And I had a massive empathy towards solo founders. That was one of my reflections as well from that period, because I think one of the factors that was really critical for even my mental, emotional, physical health and the overall well-being as a person as Vladi was the fact that I had two partners in crime, really. To have those two co-founders, and you know, it was interesting to observe because we were roller coastering in different phases. So, but that's the beauty, right? When you come in, you told me this, you show up and you are, hey, I'm on my 20% out of 100, obviously. And the other says, okay, let me take it today. I'm on my 70, but I can carry, you know, for you. I think we've done that, which was wonderful. We even had a sort of this win, small wins gratitude circle with our team, I think about 2 months ago. And there were some tears there because I actually took the stage and reflected in front of the team on how much I appreciate the two co-founders, and we were all three of us steering, because I think the team probably wasn't even able to understand the depths and the pain that we went through together on individual level. And so, yeah, I think there was a sympathy towards, and a little bit of fear within towards, if you're on this journey on your own, that must be tough. So whether that's a co-founder or if you are on this journey alone, and by any chance you are finding yourself in these difficult moments, I think that support system was what helped me. And in this case, it was my two other partners, but maybe it's another mentor, another founder. But I think that was personally, that was like essential to being able to navigate that period. How is it for you? I mean, you are in some way in the midst of it.
Well, it's a mixed bag, but the 20% thing was me. It was the thing that went viral about a couple of months ago. And I think it was Brené Brown who talked about this, but I'm not sure, but it was one of the people we like. So we can Google it. It's difficult to find an entry point to go. How was it for me the last few months? I think personally I had ups and downs. I think it's more on a personal level than on a business level. It's been really good for us as a team once we got through the turbulence of the end of last year to focus on work, and we made really good progress, but it's been a real struggle to get even an angel round together, and that I can't disconnect this from taking this personally, especially in a world where angel investments are about the people. So if you know people who always wanted to, or always encouraged you and said, when you build your first fintech business, I want to write the first check, and suddenly they say no, they might have their reasons, but I find it really hard not to go, this is because you don't believe in me being able to pull this off. Stuff I took to my therapy, so I'm processing that. But for me, the biggest kind of experience of the last few months was, as the business gets more demanding and the world is coming back to a state where it looks a bit like 2019, realizing how easy it is to fall back into the old traps. So what your friend was saying about a lot more things are happening in person in our world, and that creates an expectation, but at the same time, not an external expectation, but sort of, it's a bit like muscle memory. You just fall back into what you used to do. And you really need to be cautious not to allow things to happen that happened before that you knew were unhealthy. Like, there was a big conference here in London in April, and we all went and we had a good time. But because of the conference, there were a lot of side events. And suddenly you are in this situation where you go to the conference all day, and in the evening there's three or four events that you think are all equally important. So you're trying to go to all of them.
Yeah.
And when you have an awareness about your social battery, you really go into an event with knowing that your battery is at 10%. And suddenly you bump into somebody and it goes, okay, pitch to me. And you really need to pull out all your energy to go, okay, I still need to do a good job. And this particular one was great people, great venue, but so noisy that literally everybody was shouting. And I personally have an issue with noise. So I realized just the noise was making me go from 10% to 3. So also getting comfortable with the fact that if you remove yourself from these things, it might not necessarily be the best for the business theoretically. But at the same time, if you cannot show up being present and deliver, then there's no point in going there. It actually harms you individually as well. So it's been a couple of cases where we just went home. Right.
You know that last part I wanted to ask you about, because just yesterday I made a friend, and this was on a personal sort of her story, life story, but she was going deeply into the therapy and becoming a trainer, and she was saying how heavy it is. And especially she said the hard moment is when I start becoming aware of the patterns and why they happen. So let's say, you know, some triggers from childhood and different things. She said the toughest moment for her is to be able to change the behaviors. So when you're in it, you know, something triggers you, you know, now this is happening, how you describe, you're at that event, you go 10%, you know, you had 10%, but you still went. And now I wanted to ask you whether you feel and think that you are able now to do small adjustments, small changes towards yourself, to be more kinder to yourself.
So last year, I went to Money 2020 as the first event kind of back after the pandemic in Amsterdam. And I went with this mindset of I need to be kind to myself. So I would attend the event. And it was an event where everybody was just happy to meet people again. It was very friendly and chilled. And I would go back to my hotel for a while and then very consciously attend one thing and then go back. Mm-hmm. And it felt healthy and wholesome, and I didn't drink a lot. And okay, this year I went to Money 2020 in Amsterdam, and it was the same circus, zoo, call it what you like, motorway that it was before the pandemic. So it was a lot busier, and the days, because there were so many people that you knew, were just cramped with constant interactions. There was no room to chill. But I allowed myself to fall back into that old habit of, okay, at least one thing I need to do. So I would go to other things straight from the venue because there was so much going on. And I realized that I'd really kind of I didn't look after myself at all. Now, the interesting thing was, okay, I thought I'll come back and I'll have time to settle. And then I was going to go to Greece, which for me is always like a centering place.
Rebalancing.
Mm-hmm. And I came back on a Thursday night and my suitcase didn't arrive. And that thing started stressing me beyond what it would normally have done. And I wasn't really connecting the two. I was just like super anxious about this stupid suitcase. And there was like a bunch of things happened. Like suddenly I got a message that the suitcase was coming, and then I got a message that we have no track of it. And I was starting getting increasingly stressed, right? Bearing in mind that Wei and I, we had this conversation about the Brené Brown thing and the 20% thing, and maybe 2-3 weeks before that. And there was like 2 days later, we went to a supermarket that we go to regularly. And I was so not capable of dealing with a simple situation as doing some shopping. Like I was walking around the supermarket. Imagine, for everybody who's listening, you go to a supermarket you've been to hundreds of times, it's busy, it's lunchtime, and you don't know where to find things. Like literally going, oh, where's the flour type stuff? Yeah, knowing very well at the same time that you've done this path so many times. And Wei was observing me being completely weird. And I started getting anxious because the whole thing was just overloading me. I was literally felt like, okay, the computer is about to start malfunctioning. So he grabs me by both my shoulders and looks me in the eye and goes, you're at 0%, I'm at 100%, let's go. And that moment, I did not know what was happening, but I was so grateful for him to take charge. But I was also grateful for him to do this with a language that I understand, because he knows how these things matter to me. And he's not the kind of guy to do that normally, right? So I started crying.
It is beautiful.
And then I couldn't find the exit. Literally walking into the wrong direction, goes, where are you going? It's like out. It goes, out is this way. But it just shows that those 3 intense days of conference.
Yeah.
And not looking after yourself and not eating healthily and not taking the time that you need to recharge naively, stupidly, whatever the word is, wasn't just me coming back and needing a little bit of a break. It really affected my system to the degree, with the added stress of the suitcase, that I had no idea how still on 0% I was 2 days
later.
Layers. Right?
Yeah.
So I needed that intervention. But this is a longer way of answering your question about how do you deal with this. I think the big difference for me is 3-4 years ago, I would have judged myself for allowing this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, it happened. Next time I'll try harder. But I don't sit there and start beating myself up for, you should have known, you should have allocated more time, because that was my old behavior, right? So it's more this acknowledgement of something happened without necessarily being judgy about it, which was one of the biggest challenges I've had all my life. For not only something bad happens to you, but you also go into these guilt cycles for being responsible for it. So we'll see. But one of the things I did
No, I applaud you, by the way. Yeah. I applaud you. It's I think that's where it is. It's in the small things. It's in the reminders. I don't think there is any scenario in which this doesn't happen and you are always in the shiny well self all the time. So
the big practical thing I did about this was there's a big event in the US in the autumn that I found stressful last time, and I decided not to go.
Yeah,
big decision.
There you go.
And guess what? The FOMO is actually not strong enough. So removing yourself, actively removing yourself or not allowing to get into the situation is one thing.
Yeah. I want to share from a different sort of bucket or area, but it's the same sort of a line of or a same pattern of after, because people ask me, like, actually I get this question, like doing Future Farm, being on Naked, discussing the subject, being able to talk to other founders and experts about this. Someone, a friend of mine actually asked me this summer, he's like, do you feel more equipped? Like, I don't think he probably used the word equipped. Actually, he didn't because it was in Slovak. But anyhow, the point was whether we are more equipped to deal with these situations. So I think it is an interesting reflection given that the 6 months were quite tough. So there were a few moments, especially when we were dealing with investors. So we're coming back into the power dynamic with investors that we all are familiar, and I still think it's like a massive issue out there. Actually living it for the last sort of a year gave me so much more. I'm not sure whether it's anger. I think there was some anger and rage at the moments of when it was happening. And then there was this sort of kick, like, wow, this needs to be addressed. This is just so unhealthy. We need to change the system. But so to be more specific, I think two things. One was that there was a moment where with one of the investors, we were using a WhatsApp. I'm not sure if I said it here, but I don't think so. I might have told it to you, Nectarius, when I was in that rage mood and emotion. So we were using a WhatsApp group with one of our investors. Really nice people, individuals. So I'm not judging them as individual human beings, but in the role with the head of an investor, being on a WhatsApp group turned into an absolutely toxic experience for us as founders. So when there was any type of macro change, something happened, people are burning tires, immediately it was back on the WhatsApp group from investor for us to deal with, respond, comfort, take care of, which is completely impossible because what you are doing, you are coming in that, as I said before, every day you woke up, you want to show up for your team. And frankly, you look towards investors as someone to support you, to comfort you, to have a conversation, maybe off, you know, raw and very transparent, honest conversation, but you are not there to be a kindergarten for someone, if I can use that term. So that was tough. The way we changed it, we actually sit down as three co-founders and we said, it doesn't work. We voiced it with the investor on the call, which was a big one for us, especially for myself, because I was coming into that call with a little bit with an imposter syndrome. So this is my pattern of like, am I good enough to actually stay in the light and, you know, like say these type of things. There is a dynamic here. We still need them. But we did. And the investor actually reacted quite well. Since then, we use it very sporadically. It has helped immensely for us as founders in our mental health. So that was a big one. And I was very happy that we showed up. Similar nature, there was a conversation with another investor. Nadim received an email, which was quite toxic, on Friday night. And now you have the scenario of like, you can deep dive into it, write a big response, and have your whole weekend in turmoil. You know that you'll be thinking about it. The time to regenerate would be crushed. It would be gone. That's the reality. So I remember that moment very clearly. We received that email. We both read it. We looked at each other and we said, we can't respond now. We just have to park it. So we said to each other as LPBP, life partner, business partner, let's not do that. Let's not do that to ourselves. And we didn't. And it was such a beautiful moment because we actually were able to have a weekend. I think one, we were so exhausted. And I think it was also, it was the fact that we were together in it.
Mm.
I think, again, if I would be alone, I don't know. The honest answer is I don't know whether I would be able to step away and say, like, oh, I'm going to chill. The investor can wait. I'll deal with this on Monday. I don't think so. The fact that we were in it together, we were exhausted, and we knew what this would create for us, I think that gave us the power to say, you know what, nice. F it. Let's not do this to ourselves. That was the love also, love and care, and for ourselves individually and for us as a unit. So, yeah.
There's something interesting in that LPBP. LPBP.
You know what? I do the LPBP because I said, oh, what's priority for me? Life. Okay, clear. So life partner, business partner.
That dynamic is interesting on many levels. And we had this stated curiosity now for a while, right? I noticed something, and this is triggered by what you just said. So when stuff happens to me, I like to talk about this. And way is my first port of call because, you know, it's pretty much everything about my life and my business. And I've noticed that sometimes something happens that I find like a toxic email would arrive and I get annoyed. And then he was going, oh, what's wrong? And I tell him, I usually process it by telling him. And after that, I may not think about this. I didn't realize that he carries it with him then for a while, though. So he worries about something that I no longer worry. And it's not even his thing to worry about. So, and when I notice this happen, this goes back a few years now. It's not just now. So I learned to be a bit more selective in when my need to talk through stuff overrides.
Mm-hmm, you filter.
So I'm a little bit more cautious about this. That's why I was also curious to, as a couple, where you both know that it affects both of you on a professional level, but also on a personal level, how you deal with it and how you can park it. Because it's not easy sometimes, especially if you're the sort of person who likes to talk about stuff, right?
Look, I think this whole LPBP is a big one. And just to say, I'm super excited that we both share the interest to dig deeper. Whether we one day bring Nadim on the show and we do the Nectarius takes the seat and, you know, has Vladimir and Nadim to talk about the dynamic, I think it would be cool. And we might just do it one day. But for the time being, we have something very exciting coming. So we are going to go into this topic. I will be very ready, I think, to share, at least from my perspective, how the dynamic sort of works or doesn't work, because there is a lot of learning. I think the overarching message for me in this whole dynamic of life partner, business partner, is that it can be really nurturing and very beautiful, and it's a hell of a lot of work. But to be honest, which relationship isn't, right? So, but it's a lot of practical work. So small things, adjustments, communication is key, but yeah, I'll keep that for once we get there into the subject, but it is certainly something that is very present in my life and takes quite a lot of my mental and emotional energy as well.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's a good moment to segue into talking a little bit about what's in store for the next few months.
Yep. Yeah. You want to share some of the teasers? I did. So LPBP is a big one for me. I claim my space.
In all fairness, you just made it a thing. Nobody calls it that, right?
I don't think so, but I think people just might start.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually did use the hashtag on Instagram once, and I'm, you know, there's a part of me which is like, oh, maybe there is a thing here.
I'm sure if you Google it, it probably has a different meaning on Urban Dictionary or something like this. So what are the changes? There's some practical changes. We have a new company we're working with called Backspace, and we're super excited about the collaboration.
Ooh, yeah.
So our visuals are going to be, so our look and feel will change a little bit. We focus a lot more on video, which means we'll have a permanent presence on YouTube. So that's the practicalities, big change there. It's also new for us because now we're working with an external party, which is different from having a colleague where you can just go, can we have a quick chat? How would you feel about that? And then next week we'll put it into place, and now we need to learn to be more structured in our approach. So they've been very patient with us, we've been very patient with them. So it's an interesting new experience. At the same time, we want to continue the conversations with founders because that's our bloodline, right? It's really important that we have.
I was actually thinking that is a word, you know. Sorry, because you know, in my world, you're on the pedestal of the beautiful English. So I was like, oh, bloodline. I was like, it is a word, but
it is a word, but I just used it wrong.
It is a word. But in my world, it all fits. So all good
that's
there.
But yeah, founders. Bread and butter.
So founder stories. Yes, big time.
So and we've got some fascinating stories from people who've been through really interesting experiences that we want to share. We go deep on some of the subjects we discussed before. We have still a strong curiosity about what causes some of these things like trauma. But we're also digging deeper into the more scientific side of things. We've got an amazing episode with one of the leading researchers on the subject that puts a very interesting label. So ultimately saying, looking after yourself as an entrepreneur. If I were to put a headline towards it, is looking after yourself as an entrepreneur is literally the difference between living and dying. And you go, okay, yeah. That's one lens. So there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited on the top of all of this, and the LPBB is to actually bring in founder psychologist with whom we can have a quite practical conversation around, okay, so this is happening. So literally like playing out scenarios, discussing what is happening for us, how we could deal with this. I think that's a sort of a new layer, new thing. I think we've done it a little bit in the past, but quite excited to see more in the next few months. And yeah, but I think it's just reconnecting on, and I think now we also, given that we both really are in those journeys and we are living it, I feel like the amount of topics and experiences that we can sort of go more deeper into is plenty. We would love to hear more from you. I think that's another layer that we will explore with our producing partners, is how we can bring your voice more into Naked, whether that's in the topics you want to discuss with us, or let's say hear your questions and have your voice really live and heard. That would be really wonderful. So yeah, a lot of new, refreshing, exciting stuff ahead of us.
Beautiful. No, it's wonderful to be back. It's really exciting to do this with new energy and still talking about something that is as important as it was when we started this, maybe even more. So I'm just super psyched.
Awesome. We have this new slogan that I want to use, which is stay naked. Look at Nectarius, but I wanted to say stay naked. And I was thinking like, what else to say? Because I think stay naked makes a lot of sense for all of us, true to ourselves. So stay naked and true to yourself. Goodbye. Love you all. Bye, Nectarius.
Bye, Vladdy. Bye-bye. If you love our conversations, we would really appreciate it if you subscribe, follow, and rate Naked on your podcast platforms and our YouTube channel. By doing so, you'll help us reach those who need to hear about us. This episode is brought to you by Vladimira Brestenska and Nectarius Liolius, and produced by Backspace.